The world go round, and love, baby, makes the seesaws go up and down, and it makes trees grow tall, and the most important thing of all, it makes a boy and girl, oh, say they feel so fine now. For Billy, Sherry, Bobby, and Marshall, and baby, you and I. Oh, I can prove to you that these facts of love are so true. It makes a boy and girl, yeah, say they feel so fine now. Love is so good, child. Ooh, it's so bad. Ooh, sweet love.
A long time ago, in a city far, far away,
CITR
was born. In the decade ahead, America will be in space.
CITR
is already there. Astronaut Neil Armstrong had this to say about
CITR.
That's one small step for man.
So vote.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Herbert R. Tarlick, Chairman.
And now, a special presentation of Daft Punk's Derezzed from their original score of the new motion picture event, Tron Legacy.
I kept dreaming of a world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day,
something happened. Something extraordinary.
I got in.
This can't be good. What am I supposed to do?
Survive.
Here they come.
Change the scheme, alter the mood, elect
electrify the boys and girls, if you'd be so kind.
Hello, and you're listening to Queer FM Community here on CITR 101.9. This is Justin Saint. I'm here today with special host Ryan Clayton.
Hello.
And the Samantha Mack. Before we continue, we're going to be playing a bit of Tony Bennett and Amy Winehouse. They did a wonderful duet of Body and Soul together. This was on Tony Bennett's second duets album. We're going to be playing that for you, and we have a couple clips with Jennifer Breakspear and Aiden Saint, our regular politics pundits. Wait for some of that, and yeah, you're listening to Queer FM Community.
My heart is sad and lonely. For you I sigh, for you, dear, only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you, body and soul.
I spend my days ever hungering and wondering why it's being wrong. I tell you, I mean it. I'm all for you, body and soul.
I can't believe it. It's hard to conceive it that you turn away romance. Oh.
Are you pretending it looks like the ending? Unless I can have one more chance to turn day.
My life a wreck you're making.
You know I'm yours, but just a taking.
I'd gladly surrender myself to you, body and soul. Are you pretending it looks like the ending? Unless I can have one more chance to prove, dear.
My life a wreck you're making.
You know I'm yours for just the taking. Body and soul.
And that was Tony Bennett with the late Amy Winehouse singing Body and Soul. Really quite beautiful. Yeah, we were saying that I don't think Amy has ever sounded better.
Mm-hmm. That was quite incredible.
Yeah. Did you want to add anything to that, darling?
Just a moment, I'm out here.
Yeah, we have DJ Tara in the booth as well. From
TJV. Tara's my middle name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. My bad. TJV.
Okay. The recording is gorgeous. I mean, I keep thinking of Billie Holiday and Dinah Washington. I know it's been said before. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember writing in Discorder a few years back, when Back is Black had just come out, and remarking on that just from the album, but even more so with this. I mean, it is a pop jazz standard. But she just does such an awesome job. I think it's a huge loss that mm-hmm. we've had.
Yes.
And it's all through the song. It's the undercurrent throughout the song. It's just...
Yeah, yes. Yes, and on the video, this is from YouTube. Tony Bennett himself, I think, was saying that he could sense that Amy kind of knew that you know, she was kind of at the end.
Things weren't well.
Things weren't mm-hmm. going well. So, yes, I hope you guys enjoy that. And for anyone else interested in hearing more of that, that is from a fantastic new album by Tony Bennett called, I think it's called Duets 2. And he sings with a number of people, including, who else? Lady Gaga. So, DJ V is from Shake a Tail Feather.
Right.
Yeah.
The show just before this one.
And we'd like to congratulate DJ V because she just came out on her show.
To all of you, yes.
Yes, so,
yes. Well, hooray. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's been an interesting day. I've been kind of all over the map, but...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of been a crazy week for us as well. And we also have Ryan here in the studio.
Hello.
Yeah, and it's so good to see you. What have you been up to since you were last year?
Since I was last year? Well, I've been... First, I took some time off because I wanted to actually enjoy my summer, and then I launched something called the Purple Letter Campaign, which has been my life for the last little while.
Oh, my goodness. And speaking of which, he has a couple of purple envelopes in the studio. So we'll be talking a bit more about the Purple Letter Campaign, I believe, later during Queer FM. So stay tuned for that. Right now we're doing Queer FM Community, and later we'll be doing Queer FM from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. So now it's time for some politics discussions with Community's Jennifer Breakspear and our politics pundit, Aiden Saints. So here we go. This is News and Politics with Jennifer, Aiden, and a little bit of Justin Saint. If we can get the file to play. Of course, we're having difficulties again in the studio. So, well, there's a couple of things that have been happening in politics. Some locally, some not. The big thing that kind of came up was the thing with various school boards across Canada. Yeah, here locally... there was a big kerfuffle, and we won't really bring that much attention to it, but there was a kerfuffle because someone was attacking the Out on Schools.
Out on Schools program.
Yeah, and Out on Schools replied to said attacks by saying that they will not be bullied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, much of the attacks also were quite false.
Yes, so. Exactly. They were rather misinformed. They were saying that pornographic pamphlets with pornographic links... were being put in the libraries.
In the school libraries.
Libraries.
I'm not sure how you can click a link in a book.
Yeah.
That seems like a difficult... Maybe technology will reach that point one day, but I don't believe the internet is accessible from paper.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was quite disappointing. The other one was in Toronto. There was an issue because the National Post, of all places, posted an ad.
Ooh.
A very, very transphobic ad. Saying it had a picture of a very distraught girl.
Yeah.
And it said, "I am a girl. Please don't confuse."
Talk about.
Yeah, don't tell me I'm transgender, that I'm a transvestite, two spirit. They actually had some pretty big words in there.
Yeah. And just to add to that, today the Toronto Star, the Toronto Sun also published that same ad.
No.
So that ad has now been Toronto Star has republished that ad as well. Though the National Post issued a full apology saying that it should have gone through their standards and they would have never published it. They did say, you know, this was bordering on hate speech. So they have actually now issued an apology and they have pledged to donate the revenue from that ad to an organization that supports gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. But however, now the Toronto Star has published it.
Yes, and Samantha Mack has joined us in the studio. Hello, darling.
Hi.
Okay. All right. I think our, I hope, our, so let's try this again. Going back on politics, this is hopefully Jennifer Breakspear and Aiden Saint and a little bit Justin Saint with your community politics moment. And the computer really doesn't want to cooperate with me today.
Well, why don't you work around and see, work your magic and see what you can do there. And Samantha Mack and I have not spoken in a little while. We're not speaking.
No.
Oh, goodness.
Scandalous.
Is this because I haven't been on blog TV chatting with you lately?
No, it's because my mouth is full.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Oh, yes, you're eating your dinner deliciously. And it smells
fantastic. It's technically my breakfast, actually.
Fantastic.
So, my dear, what is going on?
Oh, what is going on? So many things. I'm really rather enjoying my life lately. It's been very very busy, very frantic. More political than I want it to be, but only because there are things that I care enough about that I'm willing to venture into the dirt and grime of municipal politics to defend the things that I care about most.
When are you going to run for mayor?
Oh, well, you know, maybe by acclamation, maybe, you know, a write-in vote this election. Everyone can write in. Ryan Clayton for mayor.
I'll do it.
Okay. I thought you were going to run for mayor. That was all
of Abbotsford,
Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to be mayor of Abbotsford.
I'll vote for you. I'll move to Abbotsford and vote for you.
I think there's a lot of people who are going to vote for me. I'm hoping I'm getting a write-in as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason is because one of the women running right now wants to abolish, I have to get this right, abolish the filthy, morally reprehensible sex show. And all the people involved in it. And it has nothing to do with Abbotsford.
Oh, dear.
So as the girl who hosts the Taboo Sex Show, although I like her title better.
morally reprehensible.
Yes.
You should change
I thought
name.
That I should go against her and see who they want to vote for. And I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, my shows are all 18 plus. That's a voting age.
Mm-hmm.
30,000 people walk through the door in a weekend. I could probably get those votes.
Yeah.
And let's face it, you know, you guys... Your show is quite fantastic and doesn't do anything illegal. In fact, it's quite appropriate for the audience that comes out to it.
Oh, yeah. We have lots of fun. I mean, like, our main stage performance is a trapeze act. I mean, it's not what she thinks it is. And I doubt she's actually ever been to this morally reprehensible taboo sex show.
That seems to happen a
lot. I would like to invite her to come just to see what's going on. It'd be interesting to see what happens, but I would like to go head to head with her on why that is such a big issue for Abbotsford as opposed to things like, you know, clean drinking water and safety in public schools.
So if you think you would like to vote for Samantha Mack and want to let us know, you can Twitter us @TheSamanthaMack or @QueerFMVan. Let us know. Twitter away. Hopefully our technical difficulties are now over. Let's try this again. This is third try, politics with Jennifer, Aiden, and Justin.
Hey, it's another Queer FM. My name's Aiden Saint. We're here at Q-munity. We're with Jennifer Breakspear, one of our politics gurus here in Canada, and of course the lovely Justin Saint. And we're going to talk about some of the issues that have... Well, that'll kind of piss us off. Well, no, maybe that's too harsh a word, but we're going to have some lively discussion about some of the things that are on and around here on Queer FM, CITR 101.9 FM. So, Jennifer, you are so lucky. You got to go down to a fantastic event in Milwaukee.
I sure did, but first I want to back up a second. I noticed I got politics guru and Justin got lovely. Wait a minute.
I'm here to look pretty.
You're on radio, honey.
I'm here to sound pretty.
Ooh.
He does sound kind of pretty. All right, let's get back to the topic here. You actually got a chance to go down, and what was the symposium about in Milwaukee?
Right, this was actually a summit. It was an annual summit that happens every September. Q-munity is was the first non-American member of CenterLink, which is the Association of LGBT Centers. And I am the first non-American member of the board of directors of CenterLink.
Ooh. Congratulations.
Been on the board for going on a couple of years now. So we get gather together executive directors of queer community centers and board members from queer community centers. We gather together once a year for workshops, discussions, seminars, lots of learnings, lots of sharings about the situations within queer community centers. So this year it was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I gotta say, I've never been to Milwaukee. I had really no idea what to expect. You know.
Well, you saw Laverne and Shirley.
I didn't actually meet them, but that is what first comes to mind for me when I think of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
However, now other things come to mind. There is a gorgeous art museum right there on the lake. Mm-hmm. The sides of it open up like wings.
It's oh, wow.
Incredible. There is the Harley Davidson Museum in Milwaukee. Vroom, vroom! and we had a cocktail reception there, and that was quite cool. And the Milwaukee Brewers were playing while we were there. So we were at, a few of us went to a game.
Didn't they clinch?
They clinched the night we were there. It was quite sensational. It was wow. A party with 40,000 of our closest friends in Milwaukee. Holy cow.
Oh, and I can imagine, let's see, there would be beer there. Yes, lots of beer.
A lot of beer. In fact, Milwaukee Brewers play in Miller Park.
Yes.
Yeah, which is just down the street and around the bend from Schlitz. You have to pass Pabst. Mm-hmm.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Milwaukee LGTB Community Center is in the old Blatz Brewery.
Really?
It's very cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So I was hanging out with a whole bunch of leaders in the Queer Community Center movement. We were talking about the state of the nation or the nations when it comes to places like community, but all over North America. Mm-hmm. Some of them much smaller than us and some of them much bigger. And one piece, actually, that I wanted to throw in there was, you might have seen it on the news, we're going to talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. The day that the repeal of the ban went into place, last Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
The Tulsa, Oklahoma Center, so again, much like community, but down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, had on-site recruiters from the Marines to sign up members of the LGBT community to join the few, the proud, the Marines.
They want a few good men.
And a few good women, and a few trans folks, I guess, maybe, too.
That's fantastic. Yeah, they've got a little bit of imagery building to do. Because they figured out there were two, there was a little bit of dissent amongst Army. There was a fair amount of dissent. The most dissent of all the armed services in the United States was the Marine Corps about Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed. Got a bit of trivia, though, for you.
Mm-hmm.
What bit of service of the U.S. Armed Services are they considering still keeping homosexuals, especially men, off of this particular type of service, a particular branch of the service?
I'm going to go out on a limb. Can I guess?
Yeah.
The Coast Guard.
No. But it is involves water.
The Navy.
Yes. And
yes.
The and submarine service.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're concerned about the seamen.
Yeah, seamen are foremost on their minds. No, it was the same reason they wouldn't allow women on nuclear submarines.
Because they share beds?
Correct. I know. It's just that's the one bit of the service where they were really, really touchy about.
You get people that sign up for a career and they care about their country and they're all about duty, but they share a bed with someone of the opposite sex or the same sex if they're attracted to them.
Yeah.
And all cares about protecting the nation and mom and apple pie are out the portal.
I know, right? It's particularly interesting, though, and as you say, we'll talk a little bit more on this later. How this is just the start. It's just letting people that are already in the military be open about their sexuality, but it still doesn't answer the larger question, which is what to do about families and equal benefits.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother ball of wax, and that's something that. It actually happened when in the United States when Eisenhower basically made the edict, you know, African Americans will be allowed in the U.S. military.
That only happened as far back as Eisenhower?
That is correct.
Eisenhower was president when?
1956.
Holy cripes.
Yeah.
But there were blacks serving in World War II?
There were, yes. But it was like the Tuskegee Airmen, you know, in the Air Force.
Oh, and it was segregated.
It was very segregated, and it was very much a pilot program. In fact, some of the blacks that they had sent into battle... some of the stories that come out of it, some of the things that were done, mm-hmm. or equipment not given, or the mortality rates were just absurd. Mm-hmm. But that being said, it was the Eisenhower administration, mm-hmm. and he basically just said, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it did. But they had to involve the National Guard and the whole bit. And
holy
it was cow. Pretty amazing. And so... If you're not from the United States, and that's why the NAACP came out and said the struggle is the same struggle between African Americans and equal rights and, you know, gays and lesbians.
It's all civil rights.
And it will probably, unfortunately, follow the same pattern. It just seems to be going a little faster because we now have the media and the internet and way more information out there. So, wow, that was a 7-minute intro.
Get us wound up, and off we go.
Off we go. So what kinds of fun topics did you pick up when you were down in the United States?
Well, of course, we're talking a lot about all sorts of issues in the various community centers. One that we talked about we had Tulsa, who invited the Marine recruiters into their... queer community center. I had a conversation with Glenda, who's the executive director of the New York City Center, mm-hmm. and she said it's very much an issue that's alive in their center because as soon as they got, you know, started talking about the ban, repealing the ban, the military wanted to come send recruiters out.
And, that's right.
A lot of discussion in New York. You know, can't say I'm surprised that the New York queer community would need to have some big debates and discussions on. Well, given dedication to social justice and peace and that sort of thing, do we want our community center opened up to military recruiters? Hmm. Just because they can recruit us now, mm-hmm. Do we want them to?
Well, what do you think?
I told Glenda at the time, I said, I think that it's something that is up to the personal choice of the members of our community. That's not for, you know, just because there's a recruiter's invited to set up a booth at, this was at a job fair.
Okay.
Just because they're set up a booth doesn't mean anyone's got to sign up.
No, and coming from a military family from the United States, I can say this, my thought was almost identical to yours. It's like, look, there may be people in the LGBTQ community that want to serve, that have the skills, that have the desire to you know, serve in this country, queen and country.
Yep.
Down there, they want to serve their nation and protect the citizenry. And you might not agree with the politics of the U.S. military and the policies of the now Obama administration, but if you have a call to serve and you have the ability, then you should. And it's quite an honor to serve one's country. It's not for everybody.
No.
But it's great that we finally have the choice.
The opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah. It really is about the opportunity and exercising it if you choose.
Yes. So, that was probably a lot of talk. That was a quite a contentious issue, and it will continue to be.
Yeah,
so
it's,
wow. What else besides, you saw baseball.
Baseball, yeah. Yes. That was exciting. Milwaukee Brewers beat out, who were they playing? Oh, the Florida Marlins.
Marlins.
Yeah. Yeah, question.
Yes.
You're a baseball guy. Why do so many of these professional baseball players have really big butts?
Actually, that's a really good question.
And it fits in a political conversation, I'm sure, in some way.
That we'll figure it out somehow. Actually, the reason is their strength coaches, a lot of the power that they get off of first base to steal bases, or a lot of the running they have to do is sprinting. So they do a lot of plyometrics, box jumping, they do a whole lot of squats, a whole lot of hip sled stuff, because a lot of the power that you get is from your hips and your butt.
Your glutes. Mm-hmm.
And your glutes. That's right. So that's why, yeah, the older the baseball players get, they start getting big butts and kind
of big bellies.
Big bellies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to say, not for the guys with the big butts and the big bellies, the older guys maybe, but for the younger guys, it's really unfortunate that a lot of the teams are now wearing the baggy pants.
Back
in the day, you used to wear those, the tighter fitting pants that had those socks that came up really high.
Yep.
They were kind of cute.
Well, and they still wear them. They have the retro days. All the Major League Baseball teams, including Toronto, have their throwback jersey days. You'll see uniforms from the 70s, the 80s. You'll see actually double A and single A farm teams. Mm-hmm. And they'll be wearing their jerseys and caps sometimes. And so you'll see the Seattle Mariners wearing the Tacoma stuff and the Rainier, and the Tacoma Rainiers, yeah. And you'll see them wearing, it looks really bizarre too. Mm-hmm. It's like, which team am I? Oh, it's the Mariners, right. Okay.
Right.
So that's, I just had to get baseball in there one more.
Yep, we did it.
So, well, we have a couple of things going on in Vancouver and around Canada at the same time. And one of them is, of course, today's Supreme Court decision about InSight.
Mm-hmm.
InSight, for those of you who don't know, is a place that allows guided and controlled injection of drugs for those who need it. And it's been quite contentious, especially a target of the Harper administration.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and
just to be clear, because I mean, this is part of what some conservative protagonists will kick up a fuss about. Nobody's providing them with free drugs.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes,
these are folks that are have addiction issues.
Yes,
who need somewhere safe to inject. There are nurses on site. There are medical staff on site, and places clean, free, clean, first use, only use needles are provided.
Yeah, when you walk in, it almost looks like, because of the way they set up the mirrors and the lighting, it almost looks like backstage at, you know, like a fashion show.
Oh, yeah.
So it really is quite clean, and they keep it up to date, and you know, the staff is really supportive. They're there, you know, I'm not sure if it's 24/7, but they're open to keep people alive, and not only that, but they even provide other services. Like I know one of the nurses actually took one of the guys who was ODing to the hospital and even bought him a new set of clothes just because his clothes were just, you know.
Yeah, so it means the medical staff are there monitoring when someone is injecting these drugs, monitoring their state, and taking action if there's a medical issue that comes up. But they're also getting to know some of these folks and being able to assess other things going on in their lives, state of their housing situation, whether they've eaten, that sort of thing. Maybe for some people that don't have anyone else that's doing that for them.
Well, and it's important also because in some of these the sites, and I've also, you know, having lived just around the corner from the InSight site there on Hastings, I can say that, and having rescued someone, I came out of Co-op Radio, and there was someone who had OD'd with the rig still in her arm.
Yeah.
And it's just hanging there, and, well, I mean, that's just not something I can walk past.
Yeah,
and
of course.
So I had to, you know, get EMS involved and take care of her and make sure that she was still breathing and remove the rig from her arm and then, you know, snap it off and you know, make sure that it was safe, that someone else didn't pick it up and try to use it.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, being a former medic and all, but it was amazing how people would just walk past and didn't give it a second thought. And this is literally a half a block.
Timber Production wants you to see Neon Indian, October 4th, at Venue Nightclub. This Texas electropop band are touring to support their upcoming new release, Era Extraña. Non-Scientologists Calm Truths will open the show. Doors are at 8. Grab an advance ticket online at ticketweb.ca or venture into Red Cat, Scratch, High Life, Beat Street, or Victoria's Ditch Records to secure your spot. Neon Indian with Calm Trues, Venue Nightclub, October 4th.
That is not the glass.
And we're back. This is Queer FM Community on CITR 101.9. And you're listening to Justin Saint with
Ryan Clayton.
And I'm not Aiden Saint.
Nope, she's not. She's the Samantha Mack. All right, so we have a bit more news and politics for you guys from our local politics pundits, Aiden Saint and Jennifer Breakspear. So stay tuned. We will be talking at 6 about the Purple Letter campaign. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to CITR on CITR 101.9.
And we're back. It's Queer FM. I am here with Jennifer Breakspear and Justin Saint. And wow, there's been some very interesting things in the Canadian press. And that's what we're going to talk about now. The first thing, we're going to go for the smaller thing first.
Okay.
Yeah. And that would be 24 Hours ran an interesting article.
Now, this was just in 24 Hours Vancouver, we assume, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, the headline, Vancouver school materials linked to explicit material. Da-da-da-dum.
Yeah. How explicit are we talking about here?
Well, according to the article, which then quotes a school board trustee, Vancouver school board trustee, it's really inappropriate, especially for a 13-year-old. This is material that's on X-Tube, which is really adult material.
Hmm.
We're assuming everyone knows what X-Tube is.
Well, we would assume, yes.
We would assume, yeah.
Think amateur porn.
Think it's YouTube for porn.
There you go.
You got it.
So, but it gets a little confusing. That's the thing. They talk about an out-in-schools booklet, but then, which doesn't... Well, let's talk about the rest of the article first, before we pick it apart.
Well, first they're quoting our friend Ryan Clayton.
Yeah.
Who's doing some great work out there in a whole bunch of schools. Used to do a lot of great work here at Community with our own Pride Speaks, going out into schools and leading workshops on homophobia and transphobia. So they're quoting Ryan, who's really standing up for the material that's being cited as being pornographic and inappropriate to be in schools. But then it goes on to this school official is talking about the Health Initiative for Men, our friends at HIM up the street, and their latest campaign, the rather catchy and provoking its Hottest from the Start campaign, which, has not been hidden in little pamphlets. It's been there on bus shelter ads and all over the place. We've all seen these partially clad men being very affectionate with each other.
Which I thought it was interesting then when the local football team had their pride, here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, wow, really? And I looked twice and went, oh, right, you're pride, lions, okay. I don't think that means what you think it means. but reading the context of the article, it seems that... It just seems that they just went into their library and lo and behold, there's all this explicit material that 13-year-olds are just going to be twisted about, and it isn't a very well-written article, but I...
Well, it was in 24 Hours.
Yeah.
24 Hours is notorious for having, at the least, spelling mistakes. Let's just put it that
way. At the least.
At the least. Exactly.
24 Hours, for those of you that have not walked out of a SkyTrain station and had one stuffed in your face, is a local free broadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's also produced in all the other major Canadian cities.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, you can find almost all the same articles, no matter what city you're in, because they really just pull feed off of the news wires.
And that little pause in her voice was the quotes in the air.
Yes.
And
articles,
yes. Well, what struck me as interesting, I read through this because our friend Ryan Clayton was rather, I think the word I'm looking for is vexed. Vexed is a good word.
Incensed?
Incensed would be another good
word. Riled?
Riled, yes. I think pissed off would even qualify.
I would say...
Yeah.
I would say Ryan was probably pissed off on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perturbed.
He probably had to, knowing him, he probably had to do a couple of rounds on video gaming,
Just to calm down.
Well, and it's interesting, though, just kind of taking a reasonably dispassionate look at this. I found it interesting. There's a picture, and it says Vancouver School Board Trustee Ken Denike?
Sure, let's say that.
Let's just say that. And school board candidate Sophia Wu aren't teaching materials, want teaching materials to be reviewed annually. But what struck me was school board candidate. And then I asked Jennifer, hey Jennifer, is there a Vancouver school board election coming up? And she said, Aiden, why yes.
It's happening in November, the same time as our municipal elections.
Could it be that this is considered, politicking? Easy target?
Oh, come on. What do you think?
I'm just throwing it out there. So, it's one thing to attack a couple of fine institutions that actually do some great educational outreach. If they've done something wrong, if there's actually a reason to do so. But the facts in this article are so confusing, so jumbled, and outright incorrect, that it's just so amazing that it's happening right before an election. So,
things that make you go,
Ryan Clayton, of course, asked 24 Hours for a retraction. Their response on Twitter was, quote, don't get us involved in your political issues, end quote. So, I don't know. I just thought of three words at that point. Pot, kettle, and black. And I just kind of went, wow, okay. And moving on. one of the larger news media providers in Canada is the National Post. And definitely larger than 24.
Certainly larger. Is it a... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I thought you might have said some qualifier there, like... reputable, reasonable, balanced.
I was just talking about...
No, you didn't, so I was talking about shut up now.
I was talking about girth. I wasn't talking about quality of news reporting.
Girth.
Girth. Yes, I said it.
Not going there. It's so hard to not go there.
I know, it really is, isn't it? What happened was a very interesting ad that was placed in the National Post. Would someone like to comment on this? It's quite an interesting thing that's already been apologized for.
We're talking about the original ad.
Yes.
Not the response ad.
Not the response ad.
Well, it's very transphobic, to say the least. At the top, it's a very, very, very not very nice picture of a young girl. It's black and white. It looks rather bleak. And she looks rather upset.
She's distressed.
She's very distressed, which makes you look distressed. Because
she's got those big eyes.
Yeah. Do they have the really cute, huge bowl and the huge spoon?
No. She is looking at you and she says, please, don't confuse me.
Mm-hmm. Don't teach me to question if I'm a boy, transsexual, transgendered, intersexed, or two-spirited. Now, you gotta give them kudos because they got a lot of words in there. That you don't usually use.
They did.
Except they didn't put in transvestite in there.
Correctly.
Always the editor.
Then she goes on to say, or the ad goes on to say, why are my teachers forced to teach this curriculum? My mommy says she's not allowed to withdraw me from class. Mr. McGinty, Mr. Hudak, and Ms. Horwath. Horwath?
Horwath, yeah.
This is bad. I should not say that name. Please tell me that you will stop teachers from confusing me. And then it goes on to cite sections from the Toronto District School Board curriculum. Mm-hmm. Things that this group called the Institute for Canadian Families. No, Canadian Values. Sorry, back up. Institute for Canadian Values.
So what? Like wearing toques and hockey night in Canada?
I don't know. Did we have a discussion and I missed it where we all sat down and we decided among us what we all agree are Canadian values?
Oh, you didn't get the memo. You weren't at the Fountainhead when they had hockey night.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That you missed out on the free beer too.
Don't. I was in Milwaukee.
Well, there you go. No, it's. I don't know. I didn't see that particular government pamphlet either. So I'm kind of in the dark on this one too.
Well, apparently there is an Institute for Canadian Values, and they put out this full-page ad in the National Post.
Mm-hmm.
Really concerned that school boards are confusing young children by including curriculum that speaks to any issues having anything to do with homosexuality or transgender issues.
And they quote the TDSB curriculum. Some of the things they quote, the curriculum encourages girls and boys to role play opposite roles because sometimes they might rely on sexist stereotypical behavior. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Or discuss ways to challenge these sexist stereotypical notions so that people have more choice in who they are and what they want to do. Hey, you know what? I thought when I went to Canada that one of the great things was that I actually had a choice to, you know, because, you know, even in the Philippines, even being able to leave the house because, you know, it was kind of a third world country was kind of subject to discussion in the family, that kind of deal. So, hey, if you can freely just go leave your house at, you know, 8 in the evening and go for a walk, consider yourself lucky.
There's another line in here that's apparently offensive to the Institute for Canadian Values. It comes from the school board curriculum in Toronto. Teachers are obligated to address all equity issues.
Hmm.
You know that, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Addressing equity issues. I can see why that flies in the face of Canadian values.
Yeah, I mean, because I know that I've been appalled as an American, transplant. I've been appalled at the exclusivism that you all have, and you don't let women work or vote, or people of color continuously discriminated away. No, that would be the United States.
You're talking
sorry.
About somewhere else.
Sorry.
Yeah. You know, let me visit a historical moment. Let me take you back. Back in time. Okay, we're doing that, you know, time passing thing.
Squiggly lines.
It's the summer, 1982. I know, Justin, you were barely a thought in 1982, but some of us have been around. Summer, 1982, I was there on Parliament Hill, standing on the grass, looking up at the stage where Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau and Queen Elizabeth II, in her beautiful matching ensemble hat, dress and purse, all the same color, and our Prime Minister of the time wearing very nice gray morning coat.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, very classy. And they were repatriating our Canadian Constitution.
Wow.
Historical moment where we brought our Constitution home from the British House of Parliament to where it belongs. And included there within was the Canadian Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms.
Fantastic.
So, I mean, pivotal moment for me personally as a human rights activist, someone who cares passionately about equity and equality. So I look at the fact that Toronto District School Board curriculum obliges teacher to address equity issues, and I think,
wow, who'd have thought?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
But apparently that flies in the face of some of the more conservative family-oriented groups. Apparently they actually have to have a conversation with their child, potentially, about...
Child might come home and sit down at dinner that evening if they all sit down as a family at dinner, not sit in front of a telephone. Anyways, that's another rant. And the child might say, Mom, Dad. Because of course there's a mom and a dad.
Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
Not two moms, there's not two dads.
No.
And say, we were talking about this thing in school today, and, you know, it got me thinking, and I wanted to ask a question, or maybe we could have a discussion. Shut up and eat your Hungry Man dinner.
Hey, Wheel of Fortune is coming back on. Shh. You know, I'm speechless. It's like, it's the Tea Party all over again. It's killing me here because I read this stuff, and off air before we started recording, I said, wow, it seems as if the Tea Party has like migrated north somehow, or maybe they're expanding west from Alaska, from Sarah Palin country. This is the same kind of hate speech, and let's make no mistake, it's hate speech. Okay, these folks are basically. You know, like the people that have their strollers with children in them and push them as a battering ram through the crowd, okay? It's just kind of like that. They're using their children as a way of fostering their own political agenda here. I mean, it's not about the children at all. It's not. If it were, it would be about teaching the children, equity. It would be about teaching the children critical thought and treating others well. But it's not about that. It's about fostering a very conservative agenda in an election cycle.
Yeah, this is what we do know. One, the Ontario, Ontario is right in the middle of a provincial election. So those three names, that one of them that I horribly mispronounced, are the leaders of the three parties currently running in the election. We do know that the Institute for Canadian Values is a Christian group, looking to stir the pot.
Yes.
During this Ontario election. We also know that very quickly after that full-page ad, there was another ad that was run in the National Post.
Yes.
Was it actually in the National Post? We all saw it on Facebook.
I don't know if it was run in the Post or not, because I think they were already getting hammered almost immediately for that ad, and I would doubt that they would post it, another one that would cause more of an uproar. But, we will say this, and I believe she's going to look up that ad.
I'm just going to bring it up for us.
But what I will talk about really quick in the interim is an apology. In fairness to the National Post, it's not a publication that I read on a regular basis, but in fairness to them, they have since, as of 3 p.m. this afternoon, posted this. Earlier this week, the National Post ran an advertisement that caused some controversy. The ad, bought by the Institute for Canadian Values, argued against aspects of the Ontario school curriculum that include instruction about certain aspects of human sexuality. Specifically, it objected to teaching young children, those between junior, kindergarten, and grade 3, about transsexual, transgender, intersexed, and two-spirited issues. The National Post has procedures in place for vetting the content of advertising, especially advocacy advertising. The procedures were intended to ensure that such ads meet a standard of tone and respect that is consistent with furthering constructive dialogue about important political issues. In this case, those procedures were not followed. An ad that should not have run in its proposed form was allowed to run. This ad will not run in the National Post again. The National Post believes strongly in the principles of free speech and open, unhindered debate. We believe unpopular points of view should not be censored simply because some viewers may find them disturbing or even offensive. Free speech does not apply only to views that will not offend anyone. They go on to talk about various aspects of the ad and then close with the statement. The Post will also be donating the proceeds from the advertisement to an organization that promotes the rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered peoples.
There you go.
That was 3 p.m.
So, I found this other, yes, this one was not in the National Post, but it was a direct response to that full-page ad.
And it's hilarious.
It's wonderfully done, and you can find it, I'm sure, with a quick little Google. Remember, we had our very disturbed-looking young girl and, with the headline, "Please Don't Confuse Me." On this one, we've got a kind of hot-looking trans guy, maybe, with the headline, "Please Don't Insult Me."
Excellent.
Yeah.
And where this little girl goes on to say, "I'm a girl. Don't teach me to question if I'm a boy, transsexual, transgender, intersex, or two-spirited." This one says, "I'm Chase. Teach me to question everything. Specifically that transgender, transsexual, intersexed, and two-spirited are just some of my options." Right on, Chase.
Excellent. Well, and I mean, the parody is really telling, because ironically, the message should be critical thinking is what we're actually in school for. If you think it's about facts and figures, I mean, sure, you need to know how to read, and there's various things that you're going to need throughout life. But when asked about college, when people ask me, what's the one thing that you learn in college, besides the answer you learn about yourself, you learn to think critically if you've done it right. So that you learn to question authority. I mean, you learn to question what they're telling you, because what they're telling you sometimes isn't true. And maybe it's not true for you.
Well, there's what is true. That's the absolute truth.
It's a philosophy.
There you go.
And there's fact and there's truth. Go back and watch Indiana Jones again. So what do you think? I think it's just fall. I think that it's the media season. They need something to run here, and it's, you know, and we're having elections, and so this is flared up again.
Shake things up.
Ah, yes. So this has been our sort of our media recap of the crazy and silly, and and come right back with one more quick segment here on Queer FM with Justin Saint and Jennifer Breakspear right after this.
And that's about all the time we have. So before we go, we have to do a bit more radio business, and then we'll be back with Queer FM. Right now you're listening to Queer FM Community, and you are listening to Queer FM Executive Director Jennifer Breakspear with Aiden Saint and myself. And we're here in the studio with the Samantha Mack and Ryan Clayton. So here's a bit of radio business, and when we'll be back, it'll be Queer FM. So stay tuned. You're listening to CITR 101.9.
Discorder is that magazine published by CITR 101.9 FM. In it, you'll find reviews of concerts and albums, stories about bands and artists, comics, and more, including a comprehensive guide to CITR's programming.
In the October issue of Discorder, you can read up on great bands like Aunts and Uncles, Ghost House, and Yukon Blonde, cruise the oral history of Mint Records, and enjoy the fabulous cover story of Shimmering Stars. And don't miss the contributors' meeting September 29th at 6 p.m. in the CITR Lounge. Come one, come all.
Discorder is available all over the fine city of Vancouver. For a complete list of distribution locations, why not go online to discorder.ca.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many